Welcome to Clarity Lab, where I talk to leading health and science experts to educate, inform, and dismantle misinformation. And if you are a human on this planet in 2025, you probably know what a problem misinformation is. I'm Derek Barris, and Clarity Lab is the official podcast of Cyrus Health, a 501c3 nonprofit I founded to build a free educational platform and curate social media channels that feature experts presenting health and science in a clear and compelling manner. And since we are a nonprofit, all your donations are tax deductible, which helps support our mission. Please visit cyrushealth.org to learn about what we're doing and what we plan to do in the future. And if you can support us, we would greatly appreciate it. I was born in a suburb of the town where Jersey Shore was filmed and grew up about 45 minutes north of there. Summers meant spending a couple days a week at Point Pleasant and Seaside Heights, and that meant hours in the sun and in the ocean, often using coconut oil on my skin to help to enhance the tan. Yeah, that's where I come from. For 6 years in high school and college, I was also a lifeguard, which also meant hours outdoors, sometimes using sunscreen after I got burned, but often not. It wasn't until I was an adult that I realized the importance of sunscreen, especially after meeting my wife. I am also a big fan of today's guest, Dr. Michelle Wong, who has created many, many videos on YouTube and Instagram talking about why sunscreen is really important. Living in Australia, which has some of the highest rates of skin cancer in the world, it makes sense that Michelle would want to talk about this. And yet, one of the early sort of cults that I found in my years of doing conspirituality was the anti-sunscreen movement, or the sunscreen truthers. These are people who fall into the naturalistic fallacy, who say things like, oh, humans were in the sun for hundreds of thousands of years, and now all of a sudden it's a problem. They really believe that sunscreen causes cancer and not the sun. And so while I've hosted Michelle a couple of times on Conspirituality talking about the sunscreen truthers, I wanted to have her on Clarity Lab just to really discuss why sunscreen is so important. We talk about the mechanisms by which sunscreen works, why using tallow is not a really good idea instead of sunscreen, how much you should apply and how often you should reapply. And we also get into this notion that sunscreen damages coral reefs, which, as it turns out, is on extremely shaky science. Dr. Michelle Wong is a chemistry PhD, science communicator, and cosmetic chemist who goes by Lab Muffin Beauty Science online. She is also the author of The Science of Beauty, which I highly recommend. I always love chatting with Michelle, so let's get into it. Michelle, do you remember the first time that you learned there was an anti-sunscreen movement?
I think it's kind of been around for as long as I've been around. So maybe the 2000s when I first started looking into it. There were some studies in the mid-2000s which found that people who use more sunscreen had more skin cancer. But it turns out that was mostly because the people who were using sunscreen in that way, they were using sunscreen to extend how long they could sunbathe and get tanned without sunburning. It wasn't really an accurate reflection of how sunscreen interacts with skin cancer, but I mean, that's grown into all these myths now. And I think when I first started getting to science communication around 2010, I started seeing stuff from the EWG via Science-Based Medicine, which is one of my favorite blogs, one of the big inspirations for what I do. But even then, I think personally, I wasn't wearing sunscreen every day, because back then, the only sunscreens that I saw on the market for face were SPF 15. They would peel massively once I put them on my face, like they would just roll off my skin. So I spent a long time not wearing sunscreen, even though I was kind of a skincare influencer.
Sunscreen has become a big part of my life now. I was a lifeguard in New Jersey, born in the town that Jersey Shore was filmed, where you would put coconut oil on to attract the sun. So, and that still happens, but fortunately our understanding of sunscreen has changed, at least for people who care about their skin, which I now do. Can you give a 101 of how sunscreen works?
So sunscreen is kind of like paint. It's sitting between your skin and the sun, and it absorbs UV. So paint absorbs colored light, sunscreen absorbs UV in almost exactly the same way. So there are ingredients in sunscreens called filters, and they are just the UV absorbing ingredients. Plus you also have some sort of base which just keeps it spread out nicely on the skin so that it's like an even coat of paint that blocks the UV evenly.
We've touched on skin cancer. Obviously that's a big problem with being in the sun. What are other important reasons for wearing sunscreen?
So obviously skin cancer is one of the biggest ones preventing skin cancer, but even if you aren't at high risk of skin cancer, there are lots of other reasons to wear sunscreen. It prevents sunburn. That's actually what sunscreens are tested for. That's what the SPF is actually testing. It's skin reddening with UV exposure. It also prevents premature skin aging. So there's a lot of changes in your skin which are environmental as you get older, as well as internal. So you've got internal changes, which is why your whole body kind of slowly goes to crap as you get older. But a lot of skin aging is also environmental, and most of that, especially for white people, is to do with UV exposure. So there's certain changes like deep wrinkling, some sorts of thickening of skin, changes in pigmentation, which are to do with sun exposure. You shouldn't just use sunscreen. So I went to a sunscreen conference and I got this magnet, which I'm showing on the video version of the podcast, I guess. And it says slip, slop, slap, seek, slide, which is the way that Australian sun protection has always worked. Slop is the sunscreen one. It's slip on a shirt, slop on sunscreen, slap on a hat, seek shade, and slide on some sunglasses. So using sunscreen in conjunction with these other sun protective measures will prevent all of these things, sunburn, skin cancer, and premature skin aging.
One of the things that I hear often people saying is that, oh, mineral sunscreen is better than chemical, and then some people say the opposite. Can you explain the difference between them?
So the big difference is really what the active ingredients are. For mineral sunscreens, it's zinc oxide and titanium dioxide. For chemical sunscreens, which are organic sunscreens, they are the ones with the long names that people are kind of scared of because of that sort of stranger danger mentality. Things like octacrylene, oxybenzone, avobenzone. In Australia and Europe, they actually tend to have even longer names. But the main difference is mostly just preference. So in general, chemical sunscreens are a bit lighter. They tend to not be as whitening on skin, but some people are allergic to certain ingredients. With mineral sunscreens, they tend to have a more whitening effect, especially if you apply enough, which is generally more than most people apply. They tend to have a bit of a drier sort of feel, and less people tend to be allergic to their ingredients. But in terms of things like safety, there's not a big difference with safety. There are toxicologists who are checking how much should be allowed in sunscreens. In a lot of countries, the US and Australia, for example, sunscreens are drugs. In a lot of other countries, they're a special category of cosmetics. So there is a lot of approval processes, which includes a lot of safety assessments that go into which ingredients are allowed and at what percentages. So they are very safe. In terms of effectiveness, again, there's not that much of a difference. If you go to the very high end, like the really high SPFs, then generally you need to have a chemical sunscreen because minerals just don't do that good a job, especially zinc oxide. But if you're just looking at SPF 50, if they're SPF 50, they are the same level of protection.
You brought up application there. What is your rule for reapplying?
For reapplying, the best thing to do is to check what the label says. That's usually regulated in Australia and I believe in the US as well. Generally, it's you want to reapply about every 2 hours, and you want to reapply anytime you go through something that will likely disturb that like paint sitting on your skin. So if you go swimming, if you towel off, if you're putting on and off a shirt, for example, then some sunscreen is probably going to rub off. You probably want to reapply.
You've done a lot of videos about applying in the first place. For example, I've seen you talk about spray sunscreens, which I often use, for example, when I'm playing softball because it's just easier and you're in movement at the time. I do make sure to rub it in to really try to coat as much as possible. But what is your rule for the first application? How do people know that they've put on enough?
So the general rule is for any part of your body, you need 2 milligrams per square centimeter, which if you translate that to like regular terms, it's about a quarter teaspoon just for your face. It's about a shot glass for your entire body, and that gets divided into 1 teaspoon per limb and 1 teaspoon for the front of your body, 1 teaspoon for the back of your body, and 1 for your head. These are like the Australian guidelines, which they've come up with after lots of years of trying to work out an easy way of remembering it. Yeah, so this is obviously very approximate. My arm is probably not the same size as your arm, for example. Very roughly, the best thing to do is probably dump out a shot glass and then try to get that all over your body.
How about when you see influencers using products like tallow, saying that's a better sunscreen?
So tallow on its own is definitely not a better sunscreen. I feel like this is the newest evolution of this trend where people are saying like particular natural oils are going to protect you from the sun. There were some studies which were done under very unrealistic conditions. I believe they just got like oil and put it in a test tube and then checked how much UV was absorbed. But that's not how oil behaves on your skin. You can't really get a thick layer of most oils on your skin. Sunscreens are designed so that you can apply a thick enough layer of that paint. So yeah, oils, they don't really have much UV absorbing ability. There's actually something you can check with the chemical structures of the oil. So you can look up what the fatty acids are in the oil. And what you're looking for in the structure is something called conjugation, which is just alternating double and single bonds. So if you look up a sunscreen, you'll see lots of like hexagons, and then you'll see like there'll be like single line, double line, single line, double line. And that's what really helps absorb UV. If you look up oil structures, they do not have that. So they are not going to absorb UV very much. If the tallow is in a properly made sunscreen, which has the right active ingredients, it's got a drug facts label, it's got an SPF label. The drug facts label has active ingredients like zinc oxide, for example, or oxybenzone, or whatever else. That will be a good sunscreen, but on its own, I would not trust that.
I know you appreciate Paul Saladino, as do I, and he's made a number of videos, but are you able to make an at-home sunscreen that you can rely on?
No. Yeah, again, it's like paint, except it's more difficult than paint. So I'm sure a lot of people have tried like painting with a particular paint and it's going great. And then they come back to it a month later and it's separated. You're not getting the right even layer, you're getting splotches. That's pretty much what's happening, except you can't see that happening and it happens microscopically. So, zinc oxide, for example, lots of people are mixing that into tallow and trying to make some sort of homemade sunscreen. That tends to clump up really well at a microscopic level and it leaves big holes where the UV can get through. Unless it's been properly tested for the SPF level and the stability, which proper products are, then you can't really trust it. It would be much better to rely on a shirt, for example, and staying in the shade, checking the UV index.
One thing that sunscreen skeptics talk about is coral reef damage. And I know you've done a full long video on this. I'll include it in the show notes, but can you sort of give your view on that issue and whether or not there is real damage from sunscreen there?
The short answer is sunscreen is not the thing causing problems for coral. It is climate change. Guess where this really sparked is with a 2016 study from the Downs Research Group in Hawaii. There's been lots of studies on hazard before. So this is where you get coral and you put in high amounts of sunscreen into it to see like where the line is for toxicity. Once you know where the line is, where it starts damaging the coral, then you can work out how much is okay in the water to like give a really safe buffer. That's actually also how safety assessments for humans work. But the thing that was different about the Downs study is that they did the hazard experiments with the high amounts of sunscreen, and then they claimed that they measured the same amounts in water near the reefs. But there were tons and tons of problems with the research, which wasn't immediately apparent. So these researchers, they issued a press release before the study was actually published. So no scientist could actually critique it before all these press releases came out. I think I counted about 20 different publications that had articles come out literally on the same day, just based on the press release. They didn't have any independent scientists commenting on the quality of the research. So examples of what they messed up: they didn't bother acclimatizing the coral properly, so they plucked out the coral and started dumping sunscreen on before it had sort of stabilized, so it was disturbed. There was only one sample ever taken of the water from the ocean. So it was like one, I think it was maybe half a cup that they used in one place. Like, standard procedure is to take a bunch of samples at different depths in the water. They also used DMSO in their hazard experiment. So DMSO is an ingredient that helps things penetrate membranes. So, for example, it's used in horse medication. So you rub the DMSO on their skin and it helps the ingredients in your medication go through. So it's going to make the sunscreen ingredients go into the coral more and cause higher toxicity. So in 2022, there was a National Academy's sunscreen study where they went through all of the data on sunscreen and they concluded that it is not having a big problem on coral. They always say, of course, in any sort of research, we need more studies, and there is a lot of data gaps, but from the data so far, it's just not what's happening. It is climate change, and there are lots of coral scientists who are very passionate about this. They're seeing it as a distraction from climate change.
Spoken like a true science communicator, which I appreciate. I always say you qualify it with more research is being done, and that's important, whereas influencers will usually say, we know this for sure.
The other thing I see a lot is that when they say there's need for more research, people see that as a red flag, as it is a bad thing. Like, more research being needed means that it is something we should avoid, and that's just not really the case. You need to also look at where the current research is pointing.
When we talked previously, you talked about the sky view factor. Can you explain that a little?
Let's say you're standing in the middle of a sunny field, nothing around you. The amount of UV you're getting directly from the sun shining on you is roughly about 40%. And then the other 60% is actually coming from the sky. So more than half of the UV you're getting is actually molecules high up in the blue sky bouncing the UV onto you. So let's say you're standing under a very small circle umbrella, which is putting you directly in the shade. You are completely in the shade in the middle of the field, but you are still getting more than half of the amount that you would be getting if you were in the sun. Now, you are going to be much colder if you're in perfect shade. It's pretty misleading trying to judge how much UV you're getting from the amount of sun you're seeing and from light. Light actually scatters about 10 times less than UVB, which is the more damaging type of UV. So if you're in the shade, you can sort of imagine that the UV is 10 times brighter than the amount of visible light in the shade. So one way of estimating how much damage you're getting is sky view factor. So you can sort of think about how much of that inside of that blue dome of sky you're seeing. That will give you like a percentage of how much of that 60% of the UV you're getting. Sorry, there's a lot of percentages here, which I know are a bit mind-boggling, but one example is if you're in a car, you're probably in the shade most of the time, but then you've got all this blue sky that you can see out of the windows all around you. That is going to be giving you quite a lot of UV exposure if your windows are down. Glass will block quite a lot, and there are lots of films now that will block even more. But yeah, you need to really think about how much blue sky you're seeing rather than how bright it is.
Final question, are there any real concerns that people should have about sunscreen?
The biggest concerns really are, first off, if you have any allergies, then you should avoid products with those allergies, with those ingredients that you're allergic to. That is the biggest one. That's the main reason a lot of people might really need to use mineral sunscreens, for example, especially in the US where you have limited chemical sunscreen options. But the biggest problem overall is just user error. So under application is the biggest one. Sunscreen sprays, for example, if you're spraying it from a distance, a lot of that gets blown off into the wind. Usually much more than half will get blown off. It won't actually reach your skin, especially if there's any wind. So for example, on a beach, you've got lots of wind going on. Not very much will hit your skin. So if you are using a spray, it's best to spray it very close to the skin and then rub it on to get an even layer. With sunscreen sticks, they're also really prone to under-application. I believe the American Academy of Dermatology recommends 4 swipes, but with my personal tests, I found that that was well under what you needed. I think with 4 swipes, you probably got about SPF 5 of an SPF 50 sunscreen. Sticks generally aren't a great way of applying. Lotions and creams are probably the best. With mineral sunscreens, I see a lot of people saying a little goes a long way, probably because mineral sunscreens are so whitening that people just try to apply less and get away with it, which doesn't work because it is like paint. You want to have a thick enough layer. Missing a spot is another big problem. It's pretty hard to get all of your back, for example. Slip, slop, slap, seek, slide is the best thing to do because you have more layers of protection. So if you do miss a spot, at least it's being covered by, let's say, your hat or a shirt or the fat. You are checking the UV index and making sure that you don't go outside during high UV and that you are properly protected when the UV is at 3 or above. With UV index, actually, I do need to say this because this is such a common misconception. It doesn't actually need to be very high before you should be protecting your skin from the sun. The UV index goes from like 0 to 11+, and when it's above 3, you should be using sun protection. When it's 2 or below, then you don't. Also, expired sunscreens, or if they're separated, those are not going to work as well. With heat exposure, you can actually cause the sunscreen to break down faster. So if you're leaving a sunscreen on the beach a lot, in your car, or if you're buying it from overseas during summer, then there's a good chance that sunscreen is not going to work as well. And the more you expose it, the more likely it is to just end up not working at all. And I guess the last thing is probably supplements. There are a lot of sun protective supplements that are being promoted, and they, first off, are not as safe because, I mean, it's weird because we see a lot of people getting worried about sunscreens that they're putting on their skin, and then instead they are eating something and hoping that goes through their body, through their digestive system, absorbing and getting to the top layers of the skin, which is much more unsafe if you think about it, just like on the surface level. Plus, supplements are really unregulated both for safety and efficacy, so they're probably not going to work. Just use a sunscreen.